لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، today إن شاء الله we will commence the reading from another book, from the book Ashraf al-Sa'a by Yusuf ibn Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Wadi. The Sheikh's name is Yusuf ibn Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Wadi. This work by him was his thesis for his master's degree from the Ummul Qura University in Makkah. He titled it Ashraf al-Sa'a. The book occurs originally in about 450 pages. This is it that I'm holding, including everything in it. It has about 500 pages, 483 specifically. Well-researched work. Most of the ahadith in it are authentic, if not all. If he quotes a hadith, he will mention where it occurs, because the issues of Sa'a are from the issues of Ghaib. Nobody knows them except Allah, and whomever Allah inspires, like he mentioned in Al-Jinn, among his messengers, they will tell us. So we should not, and we will not rely on anything regarding these matters except what is stated from the Quran or what is authentically reported from the Prophet Muhammad. Aside his depending, because there are a lot of reports about Ashraf al-Sa'a, like Al-Imam al-Qurtubi in his own work regarding At-Tazkirah, huge book, but many of the content, many of the narrations in it are weak. Likewise, Sheikh Hamoud al-Tuwayjuri, he also has a book in 3 volumes. He has ahadith from Bukhari, from Muslim, from other books, but apart from those in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, only few of them have a clear-cut mention of the authenticity of the hadith. So if you read a hadith from them, you always have to start finding out, if they are not from Bukhari and Muslim, you always have to start finding out whether they are authentic or not. But in terms of depending on authentic narrations, Al-Imam al-Sakhawi also has one, Al-Qana'atu Fima Yuhsinu al-Ihatatu min Ashrafi al-Sa'a, by Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sakhawi, the student of Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, who reported Fathul Bari to us. Fathul Bari of Ibn Hajar was reported to us by who? Abdul Rahman al-Sakhawi. He also has a book on Ashraf al-Sa'a. That work by Al-Imam al-Sakhawi is also largely dependent on authentic narration. But the problem is tartib, organization. The book is not as well organized as this book, Ashraf al-Sa'a, by Sheikh Yusuf ibn Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Wadi. There is also the book by Al-Imam ibn Kathir. He mentioned Al-Fitan and Al-Malahim, also talking about Ashraf al-Sa'a. The Fitan, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned, will come in the last hour. Why are we talking about all these? It's like what modern day educationists refer to as literature review. We are trying to review the literatures on the subject of our discourse so that we'll not just be talking. Why did we choose this book? If we want to go academic a bit, is the answer we are trying to give. We chose this book because it is largely dependent on authentic narration. And there is not a hadith except that the Sheikh looked for his grading for us. And then the book is well arranged amongst the books that has discussed Ashraf al-Sa'ah. And then for every hadith that he mentioned, he gathered the comments of the ulama amongst those who had gone past regarding the explanation of that hadith, so that we will not be bringing the hadith into a circumstance that the hadith is not talking about. One such misrepresentation of the ahadith on Ashraf al-Sa'ah is the one that the Gulamists have done. Those we refer to as Ahmadiyya. They say the train, modern day train, or olden days train, because modern day trains don't have what they now mention again. They say Dajjal, Al-Masih al-Dajjal, that the Messenger alayhi salatu was salam referred to repeatedly in Ashraf al-Sa'ah al-Kubra, was talking about the train. They say because the train has one eye. And you know, the Messenger alayhi salatu was salam mentioned the speed of the movement of Dajjal, that he will move like the clouds. They say that refers to the speed of the train. So there's a book one of the ulama wrote on this matter about understanding the narrations regarding Ashraf al-Sa'ah, where we people apply them in the situations that they are not talking about. And there will be a lot of evidences from the hadith to indicate that what the application people are saying that this hadith refers to is not what the hadith is referring to. But in his own case, this Shaykh Yusuf ibn Abdullah, he brought the statements of ulama past, the scholars amongst the past predecessors, people like Hafiz ibn Hajar, Imam Bukhari, Imam al-Qurtubi, and many of them, to indicate what any hadith that he mentioned points to. So it makes us properly place the hadith and not apply them to situations that those ahadith are not talking about. It's a very good book, inshallah, published by Daru Ibn Jawzi. Ibn Jawzi is in Saudi Arabia. Very good book, well printed, inshallah. Very reliable book on Ashraf al-Sa'ah. He also even discussed deviant views regarding some of the issues that he mentioned. He mentions a hadith. If people have misconceptions about the hadith, he will mention the misconception and then he will explain what is correct regarding the matter. It's a very good book, inshallah. One of our brothers went, instead of we reading a book of about 500 pages, so one of the brothers just went, Jazahullahu Khairan, and he gave a summary of the book in this point form, so that if we don't have every detail of it, we have some mentioning. And each of the points are based on a hadith that are authentic. So by way of making us have something to read easily in a class like this, if we can't read the entire book in a class, then we can read these kind of summaries in a class. Somebody can ask, why summarize somebody else's book? This ummah is known with that. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has Sahih al-Bukhari, we have Mukhtasar Sahih al-Bukhari. Al-Imam Muslim has Sahih Muslim, we have Mukhtasar Sahih Muslim. A lot of Mukhtasarat for Sahih Muslim, and a lot also for Sahih Bukhari. So this ummah is an ummah that is known for that. When someone writes a book, Fathul Bari itself has Mukhtasar now. Tafsir ibn Kathir has over 15 Mukhtasarat. Tafsir ibn Kathir, Mukhtasar Tafsir ibn Kathir. So we have this in the ummah. Each time a scholar writes a book, a younger person comes later to summarize the book in a manner that could be easily read by all and sundry. May Allah reward the brother abundantly. So that's why he, by way of giving Ada'ul Amana, he said, Mukhtasar. He didn't say Ashraf Ussa. He said, Mukhtasar Ashraf Ussa. May Allah reward the brother abundantly. Jazahullahu khairan. So this is the book we are reading. Ashraf Ussa'a. Ashraf Ussa'a. Ashraf is the plural of the word Sharatun. Sharat. Not Sharat. Sharatu. Ashraf. Sharatun Shurut. Although their meanings are connected, Sharat means Alamatu. So Ashraf will be what? Alamat. Alamat. What points to 18? The signs of 18. In fact, they say ashratu shay awailuhu. If you say ashrat of 18, that is sharatu shay, the sharat, the sign of 18, they are its what? Awail, its antecedent. What will come before it? What, when you see those things, you begin to realize that something is coming behind. So the connection it has with shart and shurut is that when we have the shart fulfilled, then, like the ulama say, they say, ashartu alamatun ala al-mashrut. Ashart, the condition. From shurut to salah is what? Wudu. So when you make wudu, then it is possible for you to perform a salat. If you don't perform wudu, then you should not be thinking about salat. So it's like the sharat itself is connected to sharat in the fact that they come before the mashrut. The sharat comes before mashrut. And the sharat itself comes before the actual matter itself. So sharat, whose plural is what? Ashraf means antecedent, the precedent. Like when you write a book, you have a forward. The forward of a book is the sharaf of that book. It comes before the actual content that the author desires to discuss. So this is the meaning of sharaf that we have as what? Ashraf, because they are many that we'll be talking about. Then he says, at Sa'atun ulama say juz'un min ajza'i al-layli aw al-nahar. Juz'un min ajza'i al-layli aw al-nahar is a part. Sa'atun, a part of the day or the night. That is sa'a. Sa'a, a part of the day or the night. So, but when we say as-sa'atu, we have brought a ta'rif. Who? That is, there is a particular time we are talking about. And that time is Qiyam al-Sa'ah. Yawm al-Qiyamah. The day of judgment. The hour of the day of judgment. Ulama say it is called As-Sa'atu li-Sur'ani. لأنها تأتي بالسرعة. Al-Qiyamah تأتي بالسرعة. The day of Qiyamah will come quickly. And perhaps for that, it is mentioned as if it will come within a minute or a second. So when we say Ashraf Sa'ah, we are talking about the antecedent, the sign before the day of judgment. The day of judgment will come. But some things will happen to make us understand that the day of judgment is near. Those things are referred to as what? Ashraf al-Sa'ah. Allah referred to something like this expression in the Quran, in Muhammad. He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَنْ تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ. Allah says, by way of berating the non-Muslims, it's فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ تأتيهم بغتة. Is there anything they are waiting for? إلا الساعة, except this day of Qiyamah. Because the non-Muslims asked the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام this question a lot. يسألونك عن الساعة. Cool? When is that time coming? In the hadith of Jibreel, we are still coming there. Jibreel asked the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, فأخبرني عن الساعة. In the riwayah of Abu Hurairah in Sahih Muslim, he says, متى الساعة? When actually is that time coming? So the non-Muslims, because the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام will warn them and say, oh, اقتربت الساعة. The time is near. اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة مؤرضون. He is warning them, the time is near, the time is near. They say, oh, if the time will come, let it come. Don't disturb us. So Allah says, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةِ. Is there anything they are waiting for? Except that أَنْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةَ بَغْتَةً. That أَنْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً. The last hour should come to them just like that. Allah says, فَقَدْ جَاءَتْهُمْ أَشْرَاتُهَا. But its signs have come. أَشْرَاتُهَا. أَشْرَاتُ مَاذَا؟ السَّاعَةُ. Allah says, فَقَدْ جَاءَتْ أَشْرَاتُهَا. فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاتُهَا. A time has come. So it means أَشْرَاتُ السَّاعَةُ أَشْرَاتُهَا. Allah mentions أَشْرَاتُ السَّاعَةُ in the Quran. But at the end of that verse, Allah says, فَأَنَّا لَهُمْ إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ ذِكْرَاهُمْ. أَنَّا لَهُمْ ذِكْرَاهُمْ. If they are saying, we want the last hour to be established now. Allah says, إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ. When that time, when the last hour comes like that, بَغْتَةً. فَأَنَّا لَهُمْ ذِكْرَاهُمْ. Will it be possible for them to make repentance at that time? Will it be possible? How will it be possible that they repent when the hour is already established? But when أَشْرَاتُهَا is there, they could repent. And he says, فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاتُهَا. And the أَشْرَاتُ had come. Which sharat from Ashratu Sa'a, which of them had come with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We will mention them. Which of Faqad Ja'a Ashratuha, which one is the Quran referring to? Or which one? Because it says Ashratuha. Cool? It means it was not talking about one. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when this Quran was revealed, there were some sharat amongst the ashraf of Sa'a that had been established. And one of them we shall come back to is the coming of the Prophet Muhammad. It's the first sign of the last hour. The fact that the Prophet came himself. We will come back to that. So فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاتُهَا is that the Prophet had come. And coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one of the things that indicates that Qiyamah they want, that they are looking for, that they want it to occur immediately, it will soon occur. That's why he says in Al-Ahzab, وَمَا يُدَرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. Why do you not understand? What makes it far from you to understand? لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. That perhaps the last hour, the day of Qiyamah, will be soon. And it will be soon. May Allah make things easy for us. So we understand what Ashratu Sa'a is. And the fact that Allah used it in the Quran. And the fact that in this verse, Allah made us understand that when we know Ashratu Sa'a, it will help us to rearrange ourselves. Because it says, فَأَنَّا لَهُمْ إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ ذِكْرَهُمْ. How will it be possible for them to repent if the Sa'a comes? But فَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ أَشْرَاتُهَا. Its signs had come, meaning they could still repent even when the signs of the last hour are still there. Repentance will still be accepted. And it would mean that one of the benefits of learning about Ashratu Sa'a is for each of us to be able to repent in preparation for a Sa'a when repentance will not be accepted again from anybody. May Allah make things easy for us. The second issue of benefits, why we read and learn about Ashraq al-Sa'ah, was the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about al-Sa'ah by Jibreel alayhi salam. And at the end of that hadith, he said alayhi salatu wa salam, فَإِنَّهُ Jibreel أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. It was Jibreel who came. يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. He came to teach you your deen. And from amongst the issues of the deen was, Jibreel asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. In another riwayah that makes us understand this, because أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ, tell me about the sa'a, it could mean that the Prophet was being asked alayhi salatu wasalam about Ashraq al-Sa'a. But what the question actually meant was, tell me, when will it be? Because of the riwayah of Abu Huraira where it says, Mata sa'a, when will it be? So this makes us understand that فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ was a question desired to ask about when actually al-Sa'a will come. And the Prophet said in that hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, that مَلْ مَسْئُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. مَلْ مَسْئُولُ, this ma is لِلنَّفْسِ عَنْهَا, the one who is being asked does not know. The أَعْلَمَ is to make tawqeed of the nafs. The one I that you are asking, I don't know at all مِنَ السَّائِلِ, more than you. So if you don't know, I don't know too. What that expression means, مَلْ مَسْئُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ, the one who is being asked does not know much more than the one who is asking him. On that day, Jibreel was not looking like Jibreel, alayhi salam. He came to the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, in a way even the messenger did not quickly know, as it's in some of the riwayat of this hadith. The messenger did not know until he went that it was Jibreel. Because he did not come in the form of Dihiyatul Kalbi. How do we know he did not come in the form of Dihiyatul Kalbi? Jibreel was saying that Umar radiallahu anhu, in his own report in Sahih Muslim, was saying that لا يعرفه منا أحد. None of us knew him. If he had come in the form of Dihiyatul Kalbi, they knew Dihiyatul Kalbi. He was saying shadidu bayad al-siyar, shadidu sawad al-sha'r, all of these. It was not talking about somebody they knew. They did not know him. If he was looking at Dihiyatul Kalbi, in whose form Jibreel came to the Prophet Muhammad, they would have said he was looking like Dihiyatul Kalbi. Well, he was not looking at Dihiyatul Kalbi. So the messenger did not know. He just came like any other person to ask a question. So when he asked the messenger about As-sa'a, he said, you don't know, I don't know much more than you don't know. As you don't know, I don't know too. مَلْ مَسْئُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one who is being asked does not know better than the one who is asked. The one who is asked and the one who is being asked, their knowledge of it is the same. Meaning they don't know much more about it. What you don't know about it, I don't know. What you know is what I know. Why are we paying this attention to this point? We are paying attention to this point because some of the Sufiya believe that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam actually knows the day of Qiyamah. And one of the proofs they employ is this hadith. They say, مَلْ مَسْئُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ, is saying that I don't know more than you, but as you know me too, I know. You know the day now, Jibreel. I know the day too. مَلْ مَسْئُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. But this is not the meaning of the hadith. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah spent a lot of pages in, as cited by Sheikh Yusuf here, like I mentioned. I said in this book, if there is a hadith people misunderstand regarding the last hour, he quoted the hadith. He quoted what they said, and he gave a refutation. Amongst those who gave a refutation was Al-Imam Ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah wa Al-Nihayah. That this hadith, what it means is that, as you don't know, I don't know too. What other evidence do we have? We have evidences in the Quran. Allah says, "Inna sa'ata atiyatun akadu ukhfiha." Inna sa'a, the last hour, will certainly come. Inna sa'a atiyatun, the sa'a, the day of Qiyamah shall come. Akadu ukhfiha. Allah says, I almost don't know it. It's in the Quran, Surah Taha. Akadu ukhfiha. It's almost hidden from me. Allah. That's why when in Al-A'raf and Al-Nazi'at, when they say yas'aluka wa yas'alunaka 'ani as-sa'ah, what did he say? In Al-A'raf he says, innama 'ilmuha 'inda rabbi. Certainly, the knowledge of it is only with my Lord. In Al-Nazi'at, what did he say? وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَى. When will it occur? Like that in Al-A'raf too. It says, سِيمَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا. The knowledge of it ends with Allah. Nobody knows. So that makes us understand that مَا الْمَسْئُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ is that. As you know that you don't know, I don't know too. It doesn't mean that as you know, I know. Because the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam does not know the last hour. Allah alone knows it, as these verses of the Quran have explained. Allah says, innama ilmuha inda rabbi. The knowledge of it is only with innama, is only with my Lord. In Taha it says, akad ukhfiha. I almost have it hidden from myself. And that day is لِتُجِزَا كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى. It's a day that every human being will be rewarded for their activities on the earth. So the Messenger does not know it. For this expression, مَا الْمَسْئُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ, what it means is that as you don't know, you man that has come to, because at that time he had not known that it was Jibreel alayhi. As you don't know, Mr. Man, I also do not know, alayhi salatu wasalam. But the Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as he asked him, he says, وَسَأُخْبِرُكَ عَنْ أَشْرَافِهَا. But I will tell you amongst its signs. This is not in the popular riwayah of Imam Muslim. He says, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. He says, مَا الْمَسْئُولُ عَنْ هَذِي أَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. فَسَأُخْبِرُكَ عَنْ أَشْرَاطِهَا. But I will tell you about the signs of the last hour. Ulama say this is evidence that they didn't ask him about the signs of the last hour. That we should explain the signs of the last hour to ourselves as Muslims. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman asked a hadith in Sahih Muslim, where he was saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, on one day after Salatul Subhi, he was telling them what will happen from his time till the last day. He said they performed Salatul Zuhr. He went back to the minbar and continued. He said they performed Salatul Asr. After Salatul Asr, he went back to the minbar and continued. He said there is not a thing between now and the time that the last hour will be established except that the Prophet told us. Alayhi salatu. This shows the importance of explaining Ashratu Sa'ah. May Allah make things easy for us. So the Prophet said in another riwayah, وَلَكِنْ لَهَا عَلَامَاتْ تُعْرَفُ بِهَا. لَهَا عَلَامَاتْ تُعْرَفُ بِهَا. That was when Jibreel now said, فَأَخْبِرْنِي أَنْ أَمَارَاتِهَا. Yeah, now tell me those alamat. So the first question was, فَأَخْبِرْنِي أَنِ السَّاعَةِ. The response was, مَا الْمَسْئُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. فَسَأُخْبِرُكَ عَنْ أَشْرَاطِهَا لِأَنَّهُ لَهَا عَلَامَاتْ تُعْرَفُ بِهَا. Then Jibreel asked, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمَارَاتِهَا. Now tell me those signs. You see how these riwayat help us to understand the hadith better. So Jibreel said, now tell me. And then the Prophet mentioned what he mentioned in that hadith. So from this hadith we have two points of reference. The first one is that no one knows the actual day of Qiyamah except who? Allah. Yes, we know it will be on a Friday. The day of Qiyamah will be on a Friday. But which Friday will it be? Allahu A'lam. Allah alone knows. The second point of benefit from that hadith is that it is beneficial for the Muslims to remind themselves about what? Ashratu Sa'ah. When we come back to the issues of Al-Masih al-Dajjal, we will mention this in greater detail. Al-Imam Ahmad has a hadith in his Musnad, which says that Dajjal will come when the people stop talking about him. When Dajjal will come, people will have stopped, the A'imma on the Manabir would have stopped talking about Dajjal. And that's why if you go to, if you count 100 Jum'ah Masajid now, you will hardly count 5, where in 1 month, 100, in 1 month, meaning 400 sermons, where you will hear Dajjal being mentioned twice on the Manabir. Hardly talked about. Al-Imam al-Nawawi, Sheikh Al-Imam Abdul Rahman al-Taqawi, in his own book on Ashraf al-Sa'ah, he brought an author from Al-Imam al-Nawawi that they used to teach the children in Kutab, يُلَكِّنُونَهُمْ عَنِ الدَّجَّالِ. Children, there is something called Dajjal. A man called Dajjal will come. Children, a man come, they call Dajjal. Children, 5, 6 year old children in Kutab, they tell them about Dajjal. These days, we don't know about Dajjal, not to talk about our children. It is one of the signs, again, that the time of the Dajjal himself coming is so near. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that at the time Dajjal will come, people will not be talking about Dajjal. May Allah protect us. So you see, we have a need to remind ourselves about this matter. It's like when in the universities, or where elsewhere, we'll be reminded that exams, there are 2 weeks to exams. Tabi, what does it do to us? It makes us be able to start preparing for exams. If we have notes we have not copied, we start updating our notes and start revising the notes. We start sitting more in classes. We'll be hoping for tests that we are not expected. We'll be getting the mind ready for the exam. Likewise, this great day, Yawmun Azim, it deserves preparation. May Allah make this day an easy one for us. For the exams of this dunya, they are easier because we can always come back and write them. But anyone who fails on the day of Qiyamah has failed forever. May Allah protect us. So the Sheikh said, Ashratu Sa'a As-Sugra, the signs, the minor signs of the last hour. Ulama say As-Sugra because of 3 things. The first reason, يَبْعُدُ زَمَانُ وُقَيْئِهَا عَنْ قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ. يَبْعُدُ زَمَانُ وُقُوعِهَا عَنْ قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ. Compared to al-ashrat, al-kubra, the major signs, their own time compared to the time when the day of Qiyamah will be established afar. You can't compare the coming of the Prophet Muhammad as one of the ashraf, as a sharaf, and then the coming of Dajjal. The coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is relatively further. At least we've counted 1,000 years now and 400. But at the time of Dajjal, the coming of Dajjal is closer to the end of the time than those ones. So the Ashratu Sa'ah As-Sugra will come earlier before the time relative to Ashratu Sa'ah Al-Kubra. The second point. They say, قَدْ تَقَعُ فِي زَمَنٍ دُونَ زَمَانٍ دُونَ زَمَنٍ قَدْ تَقَعُ فِي زَمَنٍ دُونَ زَمَنٍ Ashratu Sa'ah As-Sugra. They could occur at a time, and then at a time they will stop, at a time they will occur again. Ashratu Sa'ah Al-Kubra. But Ashratu Sa'ah Al-Kubra, once they come, you just expect the last hour to come. You are not likely to find a refuge. They also say, وَفِي مَكَانٍ دُونَ مَكَانٍ Ashratu Sa'ah Al-Kubra, you could find them in a place, you may not find them in another place. You could find them in a place, you will see some of the issues we'll mention. You could find them in a place, you may not find them in another place. But Al-Ashraq Al-Kubra, the entire dunya will feel it. When Dajjal comes, the entire dunya. Ya'juj, Ma'juj, the entire dunya. Nuzul Isa alayhi salam, the entire dunya. Tulu'i Shams min Maghribiha, the sun rising from its place of set, the whole world will feel it. But Ashraq al-Sa'a al-Sughra, they are localized. They could be localized and they could be generalized. The third major difference. Takunu min naw'i al-Mu'taj. Ashraq al-Sa'a al-Sughra, they will usually be like normal things. Like when women go nude on the street now, it's almost like a normal thing now. May Allah protect us. It's almost like a normal thing now. One of them, he says, writing will spread. Everybody will be able to write and spread it. We'll come back to the point. Is it not normal now? Is everybody not writing now? You don't need to be an author to write now. Once you write, press, click Facebook, bam, the whole dunya will read it. If it is Twitter, bam, the whole dunya will read it. Raf'ul qalam, the pen will be raised. That is, everybody is writing. So it will be like normal things. Ashratu sa'a al-sughra will be like what? Normal. But al-ashratu al-kubra will be clear. These are miraculous events. When Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend, is it normal? You see him descending alayhi salatu wasalam. When Masih al-Dajjal will say a man that was dead should stand up, is that normal? If he says, you people should follow me, people say, no, we will not follow. You say, oh, you have petrol, you have gold, you have oil, you have silver, diamond, all your gold, silver, diamond, follow me. They will follow him. How is that? So it will be clear to all that these are not normal events. One of his days will be like an entire year. Is that normal? So we see, Ashraq al-Sa'a al-Kubra will not be like normal events. It will be clear to us all these are not normal things. But Ashraq al-Sa'a al-Sughra, they will be like normal things. See, that is a normal thing. The fact that there will be a lot of women. We are coming back to it. 50 women will be controlled by a single man. It's almost becoming normal now. Women, women everywhere. Women, women, everything. Women, women. May Allah protect us. So Ashraq al-Sa'a al-Sughra have these specialties, while Ashraq al-Sa'a al-Sughra have those other specialties that we explained. I hope this matter is clear. Ashraq al-Sa'a al-Sughra will occur like normal things. Then they are further away from the last day. And then they may be localized. They may occur here, they may occur there, they may occur there. The first of what the Shaykh mentioned is Birifatu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he's the last of the messengers of Allah. Says, ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. The messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam is not the father of any of you. He is rather a messenger of Allah and the seal, the last, the end of Prophet. So if he says, كُلْ نَحْبِتُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا, all of you should descend. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى, if guidance comes from me, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And now the Huda has stopped with the coming of the Prophet Muhammad. So when he comes, it is indicating that no other signs, no other messenger will come. No other message, no other guidance will come. That indicates that. Of course, if no other message will come after his message, it means the time will still it will pack off creation. If this is the end of all messages, then creation should be ready to be packed off. So that was why the Prophet Muhammad in a hadith that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Muslim have reported, says, Bu'istu ana wasa'atu kahatain alayhi salam. He says, bu'istu ana wasa'atu kahatain. I have been raised, myself and the last hour are like this. وَضَمَّ السَّبَابَةَ وَالْوُسْطَى ضَمَّ. And then he put together his sababa, his first finger والوسطَى, and his middle finger. He raised these two fingers, the first finger and the middle finger. Says بُعِثُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةُ كَهَاتَيْنِ. Have been raised, myself and the last hour. فَضَمَّ بَيْنَ السَّبَابَةَ وَالْوُسْطَى. And then he connected the two fingers. As soon as you see this finger, you see the next one, go after me the last hour. After me the last hour. In another riwayah of this hadith, it says, Bu'ithu fi nasami sa'a. Nasami sa'a. One of the ulama say the meaning of nasami sa'a is the last group of human beings that Allah will create before the end of time. I have been raised amongst the last group of human beings that Allah will create before the last hour. That is the meaning of Bu'istu fi nasam sa'a. I've been raised in the nasam of sa'a, the last batch of human beings before the last hour. May Allah make things easy for us. The second sign the Shaykh mentioned, Mawtuhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The death of the Prophet Muhammad. When he came, it indicated that the last time has come. So when he went, his going is indicative that the time has come. The time has drawn nearer. As he went, the time drew nearer. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, as it's in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, everybody was happy. The Prophet has come. The Prophet has come. When the Prophet died, alayhi salam, Anas ibn Malik said, it was as if the entirety of Medina was dark. He said, our heart hated that he died, alayhi salam. But he would die, because death was preordained for every human being. And Allah had told him that, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتٌ. You, Muhammad, shall die, and they all will die. So when he died, the messenger, the companions of the Allah's messenger were displeased with it, as every human being will be displeased with the demise, yarhamukallah, of every person that he loves. So when the Prophet died, they were not pleased. There was a woman, Ummu Ayman. She was one of those who nursed and took care of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She is the mother of the son of Zayd, the son of Zayd ibn Haritha, Usama ibn Zayd, Ummu Ayman. This woman, the Prophet used to visit her, alayhi salatu wasalam, on the days of Jummah, after Salatul Jummah. He will visit her, she will cook food, because she was the slave of his father that the Prophet inherited, even though she was amongst those who took care of the Prophet Muhammad. Ummu Ayman, radiallahu anha. So, he will visit her after Salatul Jum'ah, and she will cook food and present the food to the Prophet Muhammad. So, during the time of Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq, himself and Umar, radiallahu anhu, visited this woman. And when she saw them, she started crying, because they were not the only ones that would come. They used to come with the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So she was asked by them, Ma yubkiki? What makes you cry? She says, Ma abki alla akuna a'lamu anna inda Allahi khayrun li rasulihi. I am not crying because I do not know that what the Prophet has gone to meet with Allah is better for him. I know. I'm not crying because of that. She said, وَلَكِنْ أَبْكِي أَنَّ الْوَحْيَ قَدْ انْقَطَعَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Why I cry is that revelation has stopped from the heavens. Because when the Prophet died, revelation is not coming down again. The heaven is not communicating with the earth again. So everything has stopped. Till the day of Qiyamah. So she was crying for that dream. And when that stopped, then the sa'a has drawn near. That hadith was reported by Imam Muslim. So the first sign of the last hour was the raising of the Prophet Muhammad. And that was followed by the fact that he died. It drew us nearer to the last hour. The third point, Fathu Baytul Maqdis. Gaining victory over Baytul Maqdis. Baytul Maqdis is where Allah has blessed. Allah mentioned it in many places in the Quran. In Al-Isra, it says, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayat. Barakna hawlahu. Al-masjid, the place where we have blessed, the land where we have blessed. That is Baytul Maqdis. People refer to those environments now, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and all of these. Baytul Maqdis. And it has one of the oldest masajid, Masjid al-Aqsa. And it has a stone from where the Prophet stood and ascended into the heavens, alayhi salatu. So it's a holy place for us. This area was under the non-Muslims. After the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in the sixth year of Hijrah, during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab, the place became under Islam. The place became under Islam, Baytul Maqdis. During the time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was alive, and 6 years, but 8 years after him, because Abu Bakr al-Siddiq ruled for 2 years, and the victory over Baytul Maqdis occurred 6 years after Hijrah. That is 6 years after the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. That means 8 years into Hijrah. That was when it occurred. That means when the Prophet was alive, the place was not under Islam. But he says it will soon be under Islam. That it comes under Islam is from the signs of the last hour. But now it's not under the Muslims. So ulama say that Fathu Baytul Maqdis has 3 futuhat. It has 3 triumphs over it. The first triumph was that by Abu Ubaidah, Amir ibn al-Jarrah, during the Khilafah of who? Umar ibn al-Khattab. That is the first Fath Baytul Maqdis. The second was during the time of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. We remember that the Christian crusaders went and destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the place. They came from Europe. They attacked the Muslims. There was a first crusade war. There was a second crusade war. In the third crusade war, they were defeated. The Christians don't like talking about these. The Christians had been very wicked against Muslims and Islam in history. So when they say jihad means just killing Christians, you remind them about the crusade. Can you tell me something about the crusade? So when you hear crusade, it means war against Muslims. May Allah protect us. So they did that and captured Baytul Maqdis because they lay claim to it. The Christians lay claim to it as the birthplace of Nabi Isa alayhi salam and the earlier prophets amongst Banu Israel. So they lay claim to it as we Muslims lay claim to it. So Salahuddin Ayyubi went and fought and won victory over the non-Muslims, the Christians that time in Baytul Maqdis. But now, the place has gone back under the control of the Jews. Will there be another Fathu Baytul Maqdis? Ulama say there will be. Because the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he told us in an authentic hadith that a time will come when the Muslims will fight the Jews in Sham, where the Baytul Maqdis is. They will be fought by the Muslims. And the trees and the stones of the environment will say, Ya Muslim, Ya Abdullah, Ya Muslimu, O Muslim, Ya Abdullah, O servant of Allah, هذا يهودي ورائي this is a Jew hiding behind me. Ta'al faqtulhu. Come and kill him behind me. Ulama say this will be the third fatih over Baytul Maqdis. The Jews believe this that we say. They say it and they prepare for it. Yes, what we say now, this hadith, they know it, they believe it, and they prepare for it. They know it, they believe it, and they prepare for it. May Allah make things easy for us. So the third sign the Messenger mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam, is Fath Bayt al-Maqdis. The fourth sign is what ulama refer to as Ta'un Amwat. Ta'un Amwat. In English, they refer to it as Emaos plague. You can read about it on the net. The Emaos. Amwat is the name of a city in Palestine, in ancient Sham. This also occurred during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab, when Sham, and including Baytul Maqdis, Palestine, all came under the rule of Islam. There was an outbreak of, this time, bacteria. The one we fought last was what? Was a virus. The other one was a plague of bacteria. It was a bacterial infection that affected the people. Over 25,000 Muslims died. 25,000. Ebola, I don't think they've recorded up to 25,000. They are still in the 18,000 now. It means it was more devastating than Ebola as at this present time. So that plague went on and a lot of Muslims died. Amongst those who died in Ta'un Amwat was Abu Ubaidah himself, Amir ibn al-Jarrah, Amin al-Ummah. He died during that epidemic. Likewise, Mu'az ibn Jabal, Abu Abd al-Rahman, Sultan al-Ulama, A'lamu al-Nas, A'lamu al-Ummat bil-Halal wal-Haram. Mu'az ibn Jabal died in Ta'un Amwat. Likewise, Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas, Al-Fadl, he also died in Ta'un Amwat. In fact, Mu'az ibn Jabal and Abu Ubaidah died on a single day. May Allah forgive them all. One point of benefit that came to mind when I read this was, it means a scholar can die in an epidemic. Because better than him have died in epidemics. An alim may be infected. If Allah has preordained that as the way by which his own life will be taken away. So may Allah make things easy for us and protect us from these evils. Because they are from fitan. They are still fitna. One way or the other, people go with them. But that doesn't mean, oh, the man died of Ebola, so he's an impious person. If he was pious, he would not have died of Ebola. It does not mean at all. May Allah protect us all. Ta'un Amwat. Also, the fifth point the Sheikh mentioned. For each of these points, there are ahadith. But I think we will save more time if we just explain them. The ones that require mentioning the hadith, we'll mention them, inshallah. The fourth one that he mentioned was istifadatul mal walistigna'u an istadaqa. Alistigna, I don't know how it occurs in your own. But alistigna, not wasah, wasat. Wasatin la, alistidna, correct that. Walistidna, istifadatul mal, walistigna'u an sadaqa. Walistidna, alif wa lam, lam alif. Walistidna, an sadaqa. Istifadatul mal, widespread of wealth. People will be rich. Wealth will spread. Istifadatul mal walistibna'u an sadaqa. People will not need sadaqa again. One of the signs of the last hour is that money will spread. People will have money. Ulama say this has happened and it will happen again. They say after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, money got spread. Allah gave them victory. They earned war booties. See, a lot of people had money. They didn't need to collect sadaqah. They didn't need anything from anybody. So that time went past. They say it will happen like that again when Isa alayhi salam comes. When Isa alayhi salam comes, during the time of Imam Mahdi, before the coming of Dajjal, there will be money spread. After the coming of Dajjal. Why do I say after the coming of Dajjal? Because the events preceding the coming of Dajjal with difficulties. There will be no money, there will be no wealth, people will be suffering. So when he gives them any leverage, people will follow him. Because they are suffering. So but when Isa comes, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he descends, there will be widespread. Money will flow because justice will also flow. They go hand in hand, justice and wealth. When there is justice, wealth flows. Because a group of people will not hoard what is meant for everybody. So when there is justice, wealth will flow. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يَطُوفُ الرَّجُلُ فِيهِ بِالصَّدَقَةِ مِنَ الزَّهْبِ لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. A time will come upon the people. يَطُوفُ الرَّجُلُ فِيهِ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. An individual will go around with charity. مِنَ الزَّهَبِ. Of gold. Somebody has some gold to distribute. That itself is evidence that wealth is enormous. Otherwise, how will an individual go around wanting to distribute gold? He says, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُ أَحَدًا يَأْخُذُهَا مِنْهُ. لَا يَجِدُ أَحَدًا يَأْخُذُهَا مِنْهُ. He will not find anybody to collect it from him. So this is gold. Take, say, no, alhamdulillah. How many pounds? 15 pounds? There is 50 carats in the house. This one will have 15 pounds carats. 13 carats, as they say. The other one, the man he is telling has 60 carats of Allahu A'lam kilograms. So wealth will flow, wealth will be enormous. It had been like that, it will come back to be like that. Don't forget, Ashraf Sa'a Sugra, they occur from location to location and from time to time. They could occur at a time and then be repeated, as we explained earlier. May Allah make things easy for us. When in the discussions of Ashraf al-Sa'a, we will be asking Allah for ease, because all of these will come as things of difficulty. May Allah make things easy for us. The sixth one he mentioned, Zuhurul Fitan, the emergence of great trials. Great trials will come before the end time. One of the first great trials that came in this Ummah was the killing of Uthman ibn Affan. And Uthman ibn Affan told us, says, إِن قَتَلْتُمُونِي, if you kill me, you will never pray in a single masjid alone, together, again. And that was what happened. Since Uthman ibn Affan was killed, the Muslims have never been one. Since Uthman ibn Affan was killed, the third Khalifa after the Prophet Muhammad, some people stood up from Iraq, from Egypt, from Kufa, Basra, and they came to Medina. They laid siege. Those were the first group of people laying siege in Islam. These days we see it as things of good. They are demonstrating. They laid siege. They laid siege against Uthman. He could not come out to perform Salah in the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad. The Khalifa. They laid siege against him. They did not allow food or water to go in to his apartment or come out of his apartment. And the people were observing Salah. Many of the companions had gone to Mecca for Hajj. Those who were in Medina, Uthman ibn Affan was telling them that, look, this is fitna, leave them alone. One of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Maymuna, she was carrying water on her beast of body to go into the apartment of Uthman ibn Affan. They pushed away the donkey. The donkey turned again, attempting to enter. They held the mouth of the donkey and slapped the donkey. When Aisha radiallahu anha heard this, she ran to Mecca. Huh? When you now slap the donkey carrying the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, is there no fitna? So those were the antecedents. At the end of the day, they cut off the head of Uthman ibn Affan. At that time, he was about 85 or 86 years of age. His wife, Naila, who was trying to say, oh, leave him, they cut her fingers together with the head of Uthman. Radiallahu anhu. And he was reading Quran in Qiyamul Layl at the time. Uthman, Kafirul Ibadah, min A'badi Sahaba, Uthman ibn Affan, amongst the most worshipful of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wa salam, was Uthman ibn Affan. He woke up in the midnight, was performing Qiyamul Layl. They jumped the fence up in the ceiling of his house and dropped in his room where he was making ibadah. When they cut off his head, his blood went and covered a portion of the Quran he was reading that says, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah is sufficient for you against them. That was where on the Mus'haf his blood got covered. Uthman ibn Affan. Ulama say this is the first fitna, major fitna that came after Islam. Then there were others. This same killing of Uthman ibn Affan led to Mawqi'at al-Siffin, the battle of Siffin between the group of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and Ali ibn Abi Talib. About 90,000 Muslims died. 90,000. 90,000 Muslims died in a battle that lasted for less than a week. So the great fitna at the time. On this side, there are companions. On this side, there are companions. Is it a fitna or not? Because the individual will not know where to belong. And some of the companions stayed away, like Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, like Huzayfa ibn al-Yaman, like Abdullah ibn Umar. They stayed away. Abdullah ibn, the son of Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, in his own case, he was aware that the group of Ali ibn Abi Talib were on the right. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had particularly told him, radiyallahu anhu, ittabi abaka, follow your father. Because the age between Amr ibn al-As and his son Abdullah was 9 years between father and son. Father was 9 years old when he had the son. So each time the Prophet grabbed the hands of Abdullah, he said, Ya Abdullah, ittabi abaka. So when his father Amr ibn al-As was behind Muawiyah, what would he do? He went behind Muawiyah, even when he was aware that the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib was on the right. Was it a fitna or not? It's a great fitna. The ulama say this fitna that is a sign of the last hour. They say that kullama zaharat fitnatun, each time any of these huge fitna we talk about that will precede the last hour, each time they come, qala al-mu'min, the believer will say, هذه مهلكتي. Ha! The time where I go die has come. Think this fitna. If I don't die in this fitna, Allahu A'lam. If I don't die, Allahu A'lam. ثُمَّ تَنْكَشِفْ. Then the fitna will go. Then another fitna will come. The believer will think, maybe I will die in this fitna. The fitna will go. Then another fitna will come. So this fitna will be of this form. They will be fitna that will be so great, so large and threatening, that the believer will be thinking that maybe his time has come. And then the fitna will go. And then another fitna will come. He will be thinking, oh, maybe my time has come. That fitna will go, and then another fitna will come. That was how it was during the fitna of the death of Uthman ibn Affan. Then the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then the Ghazwa of Siffin. 90,000 Muslims died. Then the fitna of Khawarij. The fitna of the Khawarij is just like the one we are witnessing in our country. May Allah preserve us all. Muslims or people who will claim to be Muslims will kill people one time and destroy one family. Most of what we see today is what was described of the Azariqa. Let us go back to the books of history, Islamic history. Al-Azariqa was one of the groups amongst the Khawarij. They killed, even brought out children in wombs of women and slaughtered them, just like we hear. May Allah protect us. So these are the kind of fitna that the Sahaba witnessed, and then those after them. And like we said, ulama say, these fitna, when they come, individuals say, hey, maybe this is my time, then your fitna will go. Then another fitna will come, then that will go. In recent times, when we had World War I, people would say, oh, maybe the whole world will be destroyed. Then World War II came. People would say, oh, and then when the US released the atomic bomb in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, they would think, if they release another one now, everywhere is finished. Now they are not talking about atomic now. They are talking about the nucleus of the atom itself. To the extent, there has to be a group in the world, say, you have, I have, oh. If you shoot, I will shoot too. So whenever these powers are conflicting, the rest of us are shivering. Aren't we? Maybe they will release it this time around. And then to a lower degree. Imagine the people living in Iraq from one fitna to another. Imagine the people living in Pakistan. Every day fitna. Recently, in a masjid here in this country, everybody who will go into that masjid, there is bomb detector. In the front of a masjid, I just went to Salah to Subi. The man looked at me and said, Ustaz, he brought his bomb detector. In the masjid. So you line up to get into a masjid with bomb, Salah to Subi. So where is security? It's fitna. It's fitna. When they went to Salatul Jummah, those who were killed, may Allah forgive them all. Those who were killed in the masjid in Kano, would they have imagined that it was their time? They would not have imagined. It's large-scale fitna. It's fitna. This one here we witness is one of these fitnas. May Allah protect us all. The Muslim will think, maybe he will go with it. And then the fitna will go. And then another fitna will come. And then that will go. And then another fitna. May Allah protect us all. So fitan will always be coming. And that was why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ta'awwadhu billahi min al-fitani ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Ta'awwadhu billah. Seek refuge with Allah from these fitan. That's why the Muslim does not come bold-chested in the face of a fitna. Al-Imam al-Bukhari in Kitab al-Iman, in Sahih al-Bukhari, he has a bab. Babun al-firaru min al-fitnati min al-iman. Running away from fitna is part of iman. When you see a fitna, you run away. You avoid it. So the Muslim does not come in face of a fitna, not to talk of being the source of fitna. So when we see people, when a situation, they say, no, we're not going to agree, everybody come out, let's go out. Hey, no, it's inviting you to fitna. It's inviting you to fitna. May Allah protect us. Some people say, are you not saying we should sit there in our house? Are you saying we should fold our arms? Yes, it's better for you than going out there. May Allah protect us. When people invite, let's go, let's scatter it, don't go with them. Don't go. It's not from our deen. Don't go. When you go and there is fitna, may Allah protect us, you will not be able to sit down like this. You will not be able to perform salah. I remember when in the north there was a time, there were 24 hours coffee. We will perform salah to zuhur and asr, jama'an, takdiman, at the time of zuhur. And we'll pray maghrib and isha. Once I was going for Maghrib, we have everybody run back into the house. Ibadah will be difficult. And Allah created us for Ibadah. So if something will occur that will make Ibadah difficult, should we not put that in a way? May Allah make things easy for us. At all times in our salah, in our sujood, let us not take it as a flimsy thing to beg Allah to give us security. Two things Allah used to punish people: hunger and security. That's why when he gave it to Quraysh, And Quraysh still did not come into Islam. He was telling them, did I not provide you security? He says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. You were hungry, provided you food. And then you were unsafe, he granted you what? Security. These are the two things we need now. We need food and we need what? Security. May Allah provide it for us. What mostly brings it is dua. We'll be begging Allah day and night. Allah provide us security. Allah provide us security. And you will not be a party to anything that will bring about insecurity, whether of yourself or the rest of the people. May Allah protect us. So fitan, that there will be fitan will be coming, is from the fact that the times are limited. The last hour will soon be established. From amongst the signs of the last hour, ظهور مدعي النبوة. ظهور مدعي النبوة. The emergence of claimants to messengership or prophethood. People will come and claim that they are prophets of Allah. One of the signs of the last hour is that people will come and claim to be prophets. In a hadith, he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يبعث الدجالون كذابون. لا تقوم الساعة. The last hour will not be established. حتى يبعث الدجالون. Until some دجالون, imposters, كذابون, ardent liar will come. These people, the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, قريب من ثلاثين. There will be about 30 who will come and say they are prophets. كلهم يزعم أنه رسول الله. Each of them will be claiming that he is what? رسول الله. In history of Islam, we knew مسيلمة الكذاب. We know الأسود العنسي. We know سجاح. سجاح was even a woman. She was married to Musaylima al-Kazab. When Musaylima was killed, she accepted Islam. She too claimed. So husband was claiming prophet. Wife was also claiming prophet. She didn't even think well. How can a woman come and say that she's a prophet of Allah? So when the husband was killed, she renounced. And she was pardoned. But there were others too, like Tulayha. In Tulayha's case, he repented and actually became a Muslim and died as a pure good Muslim. He recounted his claim to prophethood. There were others. And recently there was Mirza Ghulam, the one from India, who claimed to be a prophet of Allah. So they lied. And one of the things that indicated the lie most was one of the ulama challenged him to a mubahala. That is, we should come publicly and ask the cause of Allah on the one who is lying amongst us. He did that with one of the scholars. He died shortly after, less than 7 days after. Ghulam Ahmad died. And he died in the toilet in his house. Yes, he died of cholera. He started stooling. And he died in the toilet in his house. That is not from the symbols of a good end. May Allah make things easy for us. So he claimed to be a prophet of Allah. So from the signs of the last hour, like he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, is that the people will come, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يبعثوا دجالون كذابون قريب من ثلاثين كلهم يزعم أنه رسول الله. Each of them will be claiming that he is the messenger of Allah. May Allah protect us. The eighth point the Sheikh mentioned, انتشار الأمن, widespread peace. Widespread peace. Peace, widespread. Ulama say this has happened, it will happen again. It has happened during the time of the Sahaba. An individual will travel from Iraq, like the Prophet said in that hadith, that the individual will travel from Iraq to Makkah on his feet. He is not afraid of anything. Go to the map, see Iraq to Makkah. He will not be afraid of anything except, I may miss my road. I may miss my road. We now want to travel from Lagos to Oshogbo. We are scared. May Allah protect us. So, but it will happen again. Ulama say when Nabi Isa comes after the Dajjal, Amnu will spread. Security will spread again. Like we said, this is from the minor signs. So it can occur at one time, it can relapse, and then it can also reoccur again and again. It can be in one locality and then come into another locality. We explained that basic rule at the beginning. I would like to stop at this last point. Zuhuru Narin Hijaz, the wildfire of Hijaz. Hijaz is the Arabian Peninsula. Arabian Peninsula, Zuhuru Narin Hijaz, the emergence of the fire from Hijaz. This fire, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, لا تقوم الساعة. The hour will not be established. حتى تخرج نار من أرض حجاز. Until a fire comes from the land of Hijaz. تضيء أعناق الإبل. It will brighten the necks of camels ببصرة, at Basra. That is, the fire will come in Hijaz, but in the night, the camels that are traveling in the night will be able to find their way and navigate through that light. Do we understand? The fire, the wild fire that will come in Hijaz, will be so wide in its extent, and travelers in the night in Basra, far away Iraq, will use its light to travel in the night. This fire occurred in about 600 years after Hijrah, during the time of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. During the time of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. And he mentioned it in his Sharh of Sahih Muslim. He mentioned the fire. Al-Imam Abu Shama was even in Medina when it occurred. And that fire occurred at the outskirts of Medina, our own Medina, the Medina of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. That was where the fire occurred. And according to Imam Abu Shama, who was in Medina at the time, that fire lasted for 30 days. Huge fire for 30 days. And if you look at the distance, which I did, between Medina and Basra was 985 kilometers. 985 kilometers away, they are using that light to move in the night. Because of the intensity of that light, of the fire, wildfire. I went to check the wildest fires in the history of mankind. But they would only start from the 17th century. And most of the fires that they reported were the fires that occurred in America and in Europe. But none of them lasted for as long as a month. And none of them had so much widespread influence that the light, the rays, traveled as far as over 900 kilometers. And yet this fire was not mentioned, although it has been documented by the historians of Islam. Like we mentioned, Al-Imam al-Nawawi mentioned it in his Sharh Sahih Muslim. Also, Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentioned it in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. And Al-Imam Abu Shama mentioned it. He was in Medina. Many of the scholars also mentioned it and referred to this light. It's one of the signs of the last hour. And the fire occurred in the outskirts of Medina. It lasted for 30 days. And its light, its rays, traveled for as far as Basra. That they were seen in the night through the rays of that fire from where? From Medina. These are some of the signs of the last hour. Bi-Ibnillah, in our next class, we'll continue with Qatlu Turk, the Tatars. detox, the fight of the Muslims with detox. Those are some of the worst people that the Muslims have ever faced in the history of mankind. And they have met the worst devastation to Islam and Muslims. The Tatars, the grandchildren of Genghis Khan. We remember Genghis Khan in world history? He destroyed Baghdad single-handedly, his grandchild destroyed Baghdad and poured all the books of Baghdad in the river Tigris. It was said the river was dark because of the ink from the books that they buried in the sea. And I read an article wherein he said he wants to destroy the heritage of the Muslims so that the Muslims who come later will not find anything from the knowledge and the scholarship of their leaders that had gone past. So they destroyed every hospital, they destroyed every school, they destroyed every masjid. There were huge, irrigation dams. They destroyed all of them. They killed women, they killed children. Everything that was alive was put to death in Baghdad at the time. May Allah protect us. The Messenger mentions that as one of the signs of the last hour. In the books of history, they say over 1.8 million people died at that time in Baghdad. And that was only one of the conquests of the Tatars in the Muslim world. When they finished with Baghdad, they went to Halab. When they finished in Halab, the people of Sham surrendered. And when they finished in Sham, they entered Egypt. But they were stopped in the battle of Egypt. You will read in world history there's a battle referred to Ayn Jalut. You can find out about these things on your own to improve your basic knowledge of these issues, so that when we mention them we have more things on our own that we would have known about. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned these evils by the Tatars as one of the signs of the last hour. And like we said at the beginning, learning about the signs of the last hour is part of the deen, according to the Prophet Muhammad. And then it will help individuals to know that the time is near and we need to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the actual time is established. We beg Allah to make this dunya easy for us and to make akhirah easier for us and to make us amongst the people of Al-Jannah. We'll stop here, inshallah, until the next class. We will mention more points, inshallah, in the next class. May Allah make it easy for us. If we have 1, 2, 3 questions, we'll make attempts to answer them, inshallah. Alaykum salam. Naam. Some books we can read about crusaders. The book I have is a very voluminous book titled The History of the World. I wouldn't even, by two authors I think, they are both British. The History of the World, big book. That's what I have. But if you go to the net, you read, to Google the crusade, the war, the crusaders. You see a lot of things there. What they did from their own report, from Christian reports. They don't like mentioning it. Recently, the Pope apologized on behalf of the Christians for what the Christians did against the Muslims during the Crusade. First Crusade, Second Crusade. And the third, they were defeated. May Allah make things easy for us. Usually, the discourses about the last hour does not generate questions. There are usually things individuals need to go back ponder about ourselves and how to rectify our own affairs. We beg Allah to make things easy for us. Bismillah, will mention more points in the next class. While we have not found more than the question we talked about. Alaykum as-salam. Ameen wa antum. Okay. حتى يبعث الدجالون كذابون. I think the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Yes, the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Sahih Bukhari and then Sahih Muslim. This is muttafaqun alayh. It is between the Muslims and the Jews. The hadith is also in Bukhari and Muslim. Alaykum as-salam. Ameen, ameen, wanch. Raf'u al-kalam, naam. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Raf'u al-kalam. Naam, ulama refer to that. Raf'u al-kalam means the pen being raised. In the hadith, it was mentioned as the qalam. Al-qalam will be the difference. Which qalam is al-qalam? If you say raf'u al-qalam in the hadith, you are talking about is the qalam that records good deeds and evil deeds. That is the qalam that is marfu in that circumstance. But raf'u al-qalam in this case is the fact that zuhur, it is shown, and the qalam here is the pen that the human beings are using, not the pen that records good deeds or evil deeds of human beings, which is in the hands of the malaika. So alif wal lam here will be different, and the person talking is the one who will explain what do you mean by al-qalam that you are talking about. And the raf'u here will not mean suspension, it will mean zuhur, that something becomes apparent. Everybody is raising a pen. That is the meaning of raf'ul qalam regarding ashratu sa'ah. Alaykum as-salam. Nuzul Isa alayhi salam. There is, and I have not seen better than it, التصريح فيما تواتر عن أو في نزول عيسى المسيح by Sheikh Anwar al-Kashmiri. The book occurs in about 450 pages. It gathers all ahadith as much as the author found that discusses the fact that Isa alayhi salam will return. And he gathered it in a book and worked on the authentication of each of the hadith. There is also Hadiyatul Hadiyah li hidayati man ankara nuzuli Isa alayhi salam. I wouldn't remember the author. It occurs in about 120 pages. It's also a book, mustaqil, on the issue. Apart from that, others too have discussed the issue, like Sheikh Tuwajri in his book on Ashratu Sa'ah. He paid a lot of attention to mention the ahadith that report the coming back of Isa alayhi salam. But the most comprehensive I have seen, and some of the ulama have mentioned that on a general scale it is the most authentic, most comprehensive, is that work by Sheikh Anwar al-Kashmiri, At-Tasrih. Alaykum as-salam. We'll come back to these issues of Dajjal and Isa alayhi salam. Let's not, is it bell the cat that English people say? Let's wait on the time until the time of the discourses on Isa alayhi salam. He's asking, why was Isa alayhi salam referred to as Masih, and Dajjal himself is also referred to as what? Al-Masih. It's similar to the issue of the qalam. Isa al-Masih, al-Masih of Isa alayhi salam is upon Sidq, and that of Dajjal is upon lies, the fake, the real and the fake. Correct Masih, fake Masih, imposter. So that is from the linguistic aspect. From the dini aspect is that the two of them are the opposites of one another. While Isa alayhi salam will descend to affirm Tawheed, Dajjal will emerge. Don't forget, descent of Isa, emergence of Dajjal. Because Dajjal is right now on this dunya. The ahadith on it is in Sahih Muslim and they are authentic. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Dajjal, Abu Ruqayya. And he came back and reported the issue, Tamim ibn Aus al-Dari. And reported to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Dajjal will emerge, Isa alayhi salam will descend. So that is another opposite of their being Masih on both sides. And Isa alayhi salam will be the one, when Dajjal sees Isa alayhi salam, he will dissolve as the salt dissolves in water. He will see Isa alayhi salam, he will dissolve. He will be running away when he sees him coming. And he will begin to dissolve. He will dissolve as the salt dissolves in water. That will be the end of Dajjal, Al-Kazzab. And thereafter, Isa alayhi salam will live for about 40 years. The hadith is authentic. So, what did we find out? The hadith is authentic. He will live for 40 years. He will marry and then die as we die, as human beings die. Allahu Alam. We'll come back to them in greater details, inshallah. Because they are the greater fitan, miraculous, you know, amazing, not like these ones that we are mentioning. We'd mention the differences between As-Sugra and Al-Kubra. Al-Kubra, those ones, those who will be alive, may Allah not count us amongst them. Those who, the companions sought Allah's refuge not to be there at the time. How much we? Nawas ibn Sam'an. He said when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discusses Dajjal, they are afraid to turn their backs. They are afraid that if they turn, they will see him. So they will just face the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of fear that gripped them. The companions of the Prophet Muhammad. And the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, since Allah created the heavens and the earth, there is no fitna that is worse than the fitna of Dajjal. And there is no prophet or Nabi that came illa anzara ummatahu Dajjal, except that he warned his people about Dajjal. He says, I am the last of the Rusul and the Anbiya. He will come in my time. There is no way. If he comes when I'm there, I will defend you. But if he comes when I have gone, kullu nafsin hajiju nafsihi, everyone is on his own. May Allah protect us. Inshallah, we'll come back to them in greater detail. Akulu ma akulu hadha. HOS, okay, we'll take it on the last one. Naam. Last week, Tuesday, the UK Parliament that allows three people to be parents, yes. Have they passed it? I learned they were going to discuss it. I wouldn't know whether it's been passed. Go on. Yes. Wallahi, I have not known yet. The ulama will speak about it. The ulama, our scholars will respond appropriately. The ulama of Sunnah will talk about it. When I read it too, I started thinking about it. Have we had things like this in history? Have we had, maybe it will be part of the fitan. Because they are going to have to be tampering with the mitochondrium. And one of the scientists is already wondering that cancer will kill all those children they will give birth to. They say they've made tests. They want to avoid some energy, whatever related diseases that are connected to the mitochondria. Whatever the case, no life can come to being except by the permission of Allah subhanahu. They have not created their own mitochondrion. They are only manipulating some mitochondria that Allah has created. So the success or failure of what they are doing is in the hands of Allah. If he wants it to be, it will be. If he does not want it to be, it will not be. But I'm sure the ulama will respond legally to it. When it comes to issues, the moral and the legal issues of tri-parenthood, that is having three parents, a child would have two mothers, one father, or two fathers and one mother. I can just tell you some. A woman cannot have two husbands. A woman will not have two husbands. That is one of the setbacks Islamically regarding even the test tube baby. You cannot get the semen of a man to give to a woman that is not his wife. You can't. Neither can you fertilize the egg of a woman with the semen of a man that is not her husband. Legally, that is wrong in the Sharia. It will be right, the test tube, the VTU is it, will only be right if they get isolate the sex cell of the male and the ovum of the female and connect them in their tube, because that is the meaning, and then transplant it to the woman who will carry it. So some say that is correct, and that is largely taken by many of the ulama. Once the sex, both sex cells that form the gamut from which the child will grow are from the same mother, they allow it. But when it is coming from other women, it is not allowed. So the kind of setback that will suffer legally, Allahu Alam, is that it will make two men share a wife or two women share a husband. If they are two wives of a single husband, it may be said to be allowed from that angle. But the moral issue of who is the mother of the child will come. Because Islam, the Quran says, "In ummahatuhum illallahi waladinahum." The mother of the individual is the one that gave birth to him. So even in VTU, they have the moral issue of if you isolate from a man and then from another woman and you implant in a carrier, they call them carrier, tabi, the third woman who will carry the pregnancy. Now, the surrogate mother, who is the carrier, if she gives birth to the child, the Sharia recognizes the woman that gave birth to the child as the mother of the child. But science can also deliver that child from the test tube itself. So it will be correct in that sense. But when you give it to another woman, the question of who is the mother will come. So we have to avoid that too, because motherhood has responsibilities in Islam. Likewise, being a father. And Islam describes who a mother is. Bi-ithnillah, the ulama will respond. And when we read their fatwa, we'll let you know what they say, inshallah. But I think I'm just trying to shed some light. EHS. Just to give some background about what we expect and what the mind is already contemplating. But when they actually speak about it, inshallah, we'll read and we know where to go from there. And if Allah wills, it may not succeed. Although they are so certain that it will succeed. From their speeches, they say they've done everything. In fact, they started having parents, donor parents, ready to donate. One of them spoke and even said that by early next year, they are expecting the first delivery. You know them, the way they behave. Their calculations are always upon 1 + 1 = 2. But for us, nothing happens in this universe created by Allah except what Allah has permitted. Because he says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So we rest our case with that, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. عليكم السلام.